Chapter 93. Communion. Houlihut spotted Becker immediately. The khaki blazer was impossible to miss, particularly with the small bloodstain on one side. The jacket was moving up the center aisle in a sea of black.
"He must not know I'm here."
Houlihut smiled.
"He's a dead man."
He fanned the tiny metal contacts on his fingertips, eager to tell his American contact the good news.
"Soon," he thought. "Very soon."
Like a predator moving downwind, Houlihut moved to the back of the church. Then he began his approach, straight up the center aisle. Houlihut was in no mood to track Becker through the crowds leaving the church. His quarry was trapped, a fortunate turn of events. Houlihut just needed a way to eliminate him quietly. His silencer, the best money could buy, emitted no more than a tiny spitting cough. That would be fine. As Houlihut closed on the khaki blazer, he was unaware of the quiet murmurs coming from those he was passing. The congregation could understand this man's excitement to receive the blessing of God, but nevertheless, there were strict rules of protocol. 2 lines, single file. Houlihut kept moving. He was closing quickly. He thumbed the revolver in his jacket pocket. The moment had arrived. David Becker had been exceptionally fortunate so far. There was no need to tempt fortune any further. The khaki blazer was only 10 people ahead, facing front, head down. Houlihut rehearsed the kill in his mind. The image was clear. Cutting in behind Becker, keeping the gun low and out of sight, firing 2 shots into Becker's back. Becker slumping, Houlihut catching him and helping him into a pew like a concerned friend. Then Houlihut would move quickly to the back of the church as if going for help. In the confusion, he would disappear before anyone knew what had happened. 5 people. 4. 3. Houlihut fingered the gun in his pocket, keeping it low. He would fire from hip level upward into Becker's spine. That way the bullet would hit either the spine or a lung before finding the heart. Even if the bullet missed the heart, Becker would die. A punctured lung was fatal. Maybe not in more medically advanced parts of the world, but in Spain, it was fatal. 2 people. 1. And then Houlihut was there, like a dancer performing a well-rehearsed move. He turned to his right. He laid his hand on the shoulder of the khaki blazer, aimed the gun, and fired. 2 muffled spats. Instantly, the body was rigid. Then it was falling. Houlihut caught his victim under the armpits. In a single motion, he swung the body onto a pew before any bloodstains spread across his back. Nearby, people turned. Houlihut paid no heed. He would be gone in an instant. He groped the man's lifeless fingers for the ring. Nothing. He felt again. The fingers were bare. Houlihut spun the man around angrily. The horror was instantaneous. The face was not David Becker's. Rafael de la Maza, a banker from the suburbs of Seville, had died almost instantly. He was still clutching the 50,000 pesetas the strange American had paid him for a cheap black blazer. Chapter 94. Midge Milken stood fuming at the water cooler near the entrance to the conference room.
"What the hell is Fontaine doing?"
She crumpled her paper cup and threw it forcefully into the trash can.
"There's something happening in crypto. I can feel it."
Midge knew there was only one way to prove herself right. She'd go check out crypto herself, track down Jabba if need be. She spun on her heel and headed for the door. Brinkerhoff appeared out of nowhere, blocking her way.
"Where are you headed?"
"Home," Midge lied. Brinkerhoff refused to let her pass. Midge glared.
"Fontaine told you not to let me out, didn't he?"
Brinkerhoff looked away.
"Chad, I'm telling you, there's something happening in crypto, something big. I don't know why Fontaine's playing dumb, but translator's in trouble. Something is not right down there tonight."
"Midge," he soothed, walking past her toward the curtained conference room windows.
"Let's let the director handle it."
Midge's gaze sharpened.
"Do you have any idea what happens to translator if the cooling system fails?"
Brinkerhoff shrugged and approached the window. "Power's probably back online by now anyway." He pulled apart the curtains,
and looked.
Still dark? Midge asked.
But Brinkerhoff did not reply. He was spellbound. The scene below in the cryptodome was unimaginable. The entire glass cupola was filled with spinning lights, flashing strobes, and swirling steam. Brinkerhoff stood transfixed, teetering lightheaded against the glass. Then, in a frenzy of panic, he raced out. Director? Director!
Chapter 95. The Blood of Christ. The Cup of Salvation. People gathered around the slumped body in the pew. Overhead, the frankincense swung its peaceful arcs. Houlihan wheeled wildly in the center aisle and scanned the church.
He's got to be here.
He spun back toward the altar. 30 rows ahead, Holy Communion was proceeding uninterrupted. Padre Gustavus Herrera, the head chalice-bearer, glanced curiously at the quiet commotion in one of the center pews. He was not concerned. Sometimes some of the older folks were overcome by the Holy Spirit and passed out. A little air usually did the trick. Meanwhile, Houlihan was searching frantically. Becker was nowhere in sight. 100 or so people were kneeling at the long altar receiving communion. Houlihan wondered if Becker was one of them. He scanned their backs. He was prepared to shoot from 50 yards away and make a dash for it.
El cuerpo de Jesús, el pan del cielo. The young priest serving Becker communion gave him a disapproving stare. He could understand the stranger's eagerness to receive communion, but it was no excuse to cut in line. Becker bowed his head and chewed the wafer as best he could. He sensed something was happening behind him, some sort of disturbance. He thought of the man from whom he'd bought the jacket, and hoped he had listened to his warning and not taken Becker's in exchange. He started to turn and look, but he feared the wire-rimmed glasses would be staring back. He crouched in hopes his black jacket was covering the back of his khaki pants. It was not. The chalice was coming quickly from his right. People were already swallowing their wine, crossing themselves, and standing to leave.
Slow down!
Becker was in no hurry to leave the altar, but with 2,000 people waiting for communion and only 8 priests serving, it was considered bad form to linger over a sip of wine. The chalice was just to the right of Becker when Houlihan spotted the mismatched khaki pants.
Estás ya muerto,
he hissed softly.
You're already dead.
Houlihan moved up the center aisle. The time for subtlety had passed. 2 shots in the back, and he would grab the ring and run. The biggest taxi stand in Seville was half a block away on Mateus Gago. He reached for his weapon.
Adios, Señor Becker.
La sangre de Cristo, la copa de la salvación.
The thick scent of red wine filled Becker's nostrils as Padre Herrera lowered the hand-polished silver chalice.
Little early for drinking, Becker thought as he leaned forward.
But as the silver goblet dropped past eye level, there was a blur of movement, a figure coming fast, his shape warped in the reflection of the cup. Becker saw a flash of metal, a weapon being drawn. Instantly, unconsciously, like a runner from a starting block at the sound of a gun, Becker was vaulting forward. The priest fell back in horror as the chalice sailed through the air and red wine rained down on white marble. Priests and altar boys went scattering as Becker dove over the communion rail. A silencer coughed out a single shot. Becker landed hard, and the shot exploded in the marble floor beside him. An instant later, he was tumbling down 3 granite stairs into the valle, a narrow passageway through which the clergy entered, allowing them to rise onto the altar as if by divine grace. At the bottom of the steps, he stumbled and dove. Becker felt himself sliding out of control across the slick, polished stone. A dagger of pain shot through his gut as he landed on his side. A moment later, he was stumbling through a curtained entryway and down a set of wooden stairs. Pain. Becker was running through a dressing room. It was dark. There were screams from the altar, loud footsteps in pursuit. Becker burst through a set of double doors and stumbled into some sort of study. It was dark, furnished with rich orientals and polished mahogany. On the far wall was a life-size crucifix. Becker staggered to a stop. Dead end. He was at the tip of the cross. He could hear Houlihan closing fast. Becker stared at the crucifix and cursed his bad luck.
God damn it! He screamed.
There was the sudden sound of breaking glass to Becker's left. He wheeled. A man in red robes gasped and turned to eye Becker in horror. Like a cat caught with a canary, the holy man wiped his mouth and tried to hide the broken bottle of Holy Communion wine at his feet.
Salida! Becker demanded. Salida! Let me out!
Cardinal Guerra reacted on instinct. A demon had entered his sacred chambers screaming for deliverance from the house of God. Guerra would grant him that wish, immediately. The demon had entered at a most inopportune moment. Pale, the cardinal pointed to a curtain on the wall to his left. Hidden behind the curtain was a door. He'd installed it 3 years ago. It led directly to the courtyard outside. The cardinal had grown tired of exiting the church through the front door like a common sinner.
This book is continued on Disc 9.